Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
A Dear Media original podcast.
Hello, welcome to Wine Face, where we're breaking down everything the experts know about wine in a fun, digestible, and accessible way because wine is for enjoying and wine is for everyone. I'm your host, Helen Johannesson from Helen's Wines in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Driving over here for this episode, it was really hot in my car. You roll down the windows, it's cool breeze. It's like LA heaven this time of year. Kind of winter, kind of wanted to snow. Sky, my son, knows what snow is just from books. Okay, today is way too exciting to get into my small talk banter. I am super stoked today to have, and I'm going to air quote if you're just listening to this, TikTok's older sister on today, Tinks. Tinks is an LA-based influencer for her massively popular TikToks, her relatable content, deep cut opinions, which is kind of my personal favorite part about this woman, relationship advice, and her podcast, It's Me, Tinks, and I'm sure like a billion other cool shit she has going on that maybe she can't talk about yet, but I know it's all coming. She's in it. Welcome to my world, Tinks.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is truly an honor to have you on because I feel like you are a woman who you manifest. You speak your mind. It's like real feminism in action.
Thank you. That's so nice.
I mean, it's true. I feel like I, like most of the world, more recently got to know you, right? Because
Everything kind of recent. It's pretty new. But thank you. That's very kind. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for all the good bottles that I've gotten, all of the times I've snuck in. Can we talk about how everyone who works at Helen's Wines is hot? And it's like I go in and I feel like I have to put makeup on to go. I don't wear makeup to the gym, but I do when I go buy wine at
like
your shop.
A little bit of blush.
Well, yeah, because I genuinely feel like John and Vinny's, the Fairfax one, that one. And you know, I think that is the Abercrombie of today in that I feel I want to go hang out there, but I feel intimidated because I feel like I'm not that hot and it smells good.
Yeah.
Because I always like, I'm like, oh, God, I want a bottle of wine and I'll go and I'll drive in the back and then I walk in and I'm like, who's it going to be? And they're always hot.
Oh, my gosh. I mean.
And knowledgeable. I've never had a bad bottle of wine.
Just for the record, I do not hire based on looks. We're blindfolded. But I feel like Fairfax, they take that streetwear shit to another level.
You know why? It's because synergy. Anybody who opts into working in wine is like automatically hot because it's like Julia Child said, people who love to eat are always the best people. And that's true. And it's also true with like wine people. Like you're just a good person. You figured it out. You figured out life. Like it's just, it's good. So maybe that's why they're all hot.
I really love your opinion on this because I feel like it's not my experience. Like when I started, I worked for someone who was like 100% not hot.
Really?
And maybe it was because he had the wrong attitude about wine. This person was
named.
bitchy and just like really grumpy and stinky and like not hot from the inside out.
Yeah, that's bad. I want to end up with a hot winemaker. Like a.
I could set you up.
Yeah, I have a boyfriend. That was a bad thing for me to
say. We're not
but
setting anybody up.
You know what I mean? And I actually took him to Helen's Wines like one of the first nights that he was staying over, and I was like, I really want a bottle of wine, and I had just come back from a trip, so I didn't have any in my house, which is, well, actually, I had shitty wine. And you know when, like, sometimes you're in the mood, sometimes you can do, like, a shitty bottle that someone brought you, and sometimes you're, like, you have a specific taste in your mouth
you
where
craving.
You're like, I need that type of wine, and I was like, let's go. And I looked like shit, and I made him go in. And then when he got back in the car, I was like, did anyone hit on you?
Wait, what kind of wine does he like?
He doesn't know. I'm not trying to put him on blast, but he's like, red wine. And I'm like, okay. And I throw my hands up. I don't know a lot either, but I know what I like.
And I feel like you know more than the average person about wine.
Probably, yes. But, and I'm not being rude to him. He would say that himself.
Or you have,
like,
an opinion, which I think is like half the battle. I'm just like, just take a stand and I'll help you from there.
Yeah, because he was like, what kind do you want? And I said Nebbiolo. And he was like, what? And I was like, just say Nebbiolo. Just say a $60 bottle of Nebbiolo, babe.
Wait, you're dropping knowledge bombs.
I know.
Like, Nebbiolo, that's
off.
Like beyond beginner. That's beyond beginner.
Thanks. I'm a picky bitch.
When I go to eat, every restaurant, they give my husband the wine list.
It's rude.
It's really
crazy.
It's wild. And he kind of like always gets so uncomfortable and is like, throws his hands up and he's like, I don't know anything about wine.
Yeah. But I'm always like, I'll taste it.
Yeah. Just be like, give me the list.
Give me the list. Yeah.
Fairfax has a special place in our heart. It's obviously like the OG. It opened on 420. It has the most mystery and allure, and it's like the one that everyone wants to work at.
Yeah.
So when I go back there today, I'm going to be like, hey, y'all, congratulations on being awesome and hot and nice.
Yeah. It's just the best in there. And I love how that room, the back little wine cellar room, is cooler because I'm always overheated as I wear this big jacket.
I know. But I was like, wondering.
It's really great. And I really appreciate in today's world curation.
Yeah.
Because there's so much shit out there that when someone is an expert in something, it really turns me on. And when I feel like I can trust a brand or a person or whatever, an establishment completely, that's just worth its weight in gold to me because there's so much shit out there, and we don't have unlimited time. We don't have unlimited money. So when I can genuinely go into a place and say, I'm going to be taken care of here, that's a very rare thing. And that's why you're successful, because you do a good job.
Thank you. I think it's just cutting to the core of like the ethics of good business.
Right.
Like everyone tries to be this like mercurial monster sometimes of like, I can be this and I can be that.
Yeah.
I think you just have to be true to yourself.
You know,
for the longest time, when we opened Helen's, people kind of just were like, what are you doing? They like didn't get it.
Right.
They were like, where's Camus? And I was like, Camus can literally go fuck itself. Sorry, Camus. I'm not trying to build an enemy. But I think curation and sticking to your guns is something that's like crucial.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, when you bought that bottle of Nebbiolo, did you have it with food or just sip?
I've just drank it.
What kind of wine glass did you use?
A big one. I love a big, huge.
Like a bowl.
I love a bowl.
That could like shatter if you look at it.
100%. Yeah.
Don't put it near the cat's fountain.
Exactly. I have broken so many wine glasses. I love a huge, I have many different wine glasses. I have my like day-to-day clunky, like normal. I have my, do you say it, Riedel?
Riedel.
Whatever. I have those ones, but I never use them because I look at them and they break. I have my Estelle colored glass.
So
those
beautiful. What color do you have?
I have green.
Oh,
and I
such
love
a good
them
choice.
So much, and they look so beautiful. But I like them more for summertime because it's a lighter green.
Yeah.
But I love a massive red wine, like huge,
huge.
However, I also think it's very chic to drink wine out of the shorter Durlex glasses.
Just to like a tumbler.
Just like a tumbler. Like
depends on the wine, though.
Depends
on the wine. Like a Nebbiolo needs the bulk. So we're talking about burgundy glasses is the technical name.
Yes.
Last night I put my glass of wine in a burgundy glass, and I put Alex's, my husband's, wine in like this vintage glass. And he was like, yo, what is happening? He was like, you get the bottle. I was like, I wasn't even thinking, babe. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It just matters so much. It really does. Like the glass is everything to me.
What is, like, my appreciation, because you spend time in Europe, the wine glass scene is so much more on point in Europe than it is here.
It
is. Like, they really just take it to the next level
of,
like, precision.
Yeah.
elegance.
It's so chic. It's like so clean. I love it.
I just love the German Riesling glasses with the green stem and the white top. You go to
so beautiful. Yes, I love best. Riesling, I gotta say.
What? Really? Dry or sweet?
Dry.
Me too.
It's so good.
I think people misunderstand Riesling.
They do. They think it's sweet. And it's like, I mean, I hate sweet wine, so I couldn't. But I love like a good dry Riesling. Oh my God.
What are your favorite wines now that we're going? Because you know way more about wine.
I love for red. Well, so I think it's so funny. I don't know if that's true, that folklore that like your taste buds change every 7 years. But maybe. Mine have changed so much. Like I used to be the biggest Pinot drinker. Like that's all I would touch. I lived in Northern California and I was just like hammering Pinots. Now they like turn my stomach almost.
Really?
Yeah. Now oh I'm God. Like Nebbiolo, Sangiovese is what I would always go for in a red. Really those two. A Cab Franc maybe. What else do I like? I'm very into like a juicy red right now. Like something
juicy
that's
and
juicy
with
and
texture and
textured. Yeah. And then I'm like every other basic bee. I love orange wine right now. I really do.
Basic.
Give me a Pet Nat. Give me some skin contact. Oh, my God. I just fucking, that's all I did this summer was like slurp down orange wine. I like love it. Love it, love it, love it.
I feel like the impetus for you coming on this podcast was you posted some wine. I couldn't remember. I was trying to think about it. It was either like an orange wine or a rosé. And I think I DM'd you like, girl, you can, no, don't do
don't
it.
Don't drink
don't
that.
Don't drink that. But I can't remember.
I can't remember
but it was like
what it was.
A long time ago, like maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It was a while ago.
Yeah. I think I remember that.
But
yeah.
Now, it wasn't like you were like, I love this bottle.
Yeah.
But I feel like you do have really good taste in wine. And I was like, weird how that started. Ugh. And then I'm like, sometimes I'm like, should I even cross that line?
Hell yeah, you should.
I was like, I gotta help this girl. Like, yeah. I was just like, let me.
No, you should always.
Dude, orange wine is crazy because it's like the oldest tradition of making wine.
Yeah.
But so many people think it was just invented.
I know. They're like, it's a new thing.
Yeah.
I love like a little effervescent.
A little spritz.
Yum.
A little accidental secondary fermentation.
I love a chilled red. Fuck me up. Love a chilled red.
It's always chilled red season at my house.
Oh my God. A chilled red is just like, it's
I chill every red.
Me. Yeah, same almost.
I put every red wine in the fridge and like open it that way.
Yeah.
And then just kind of let
it
temp up.
And just let it go. Yeah.
Yeah. What's like your favorite wine dining experience? Doesn't have to be in LA. Like what's the ultimate? At home, going out?
To me, having a glass of wine while you cook is like one of the things that separates us from the animals.
Yeah.
Like that feeling of like you pop open a bottle, got your freaking whatever, Le Creuset out, and you're about to go ham,
you're gonna braise some shit.
That to me is like one of the most meditative, unbelievable experiences. Or I love wine in a restaurant, of course, but it's just like something about, am I going to regret saying this? I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to say it anyway. I almost not prefer, but I appreciate wine more at home.
Mm.
Or like to me, wine is way more, like if I had to say, I would say I like wine at home better and I have a cocktail out better. Because the act of someone making me a cocktail is like, that's great to do at a bar, whatever. But like home, and me and my girlfriends do this thing called Never Ending Sundays. And we start like at my house always. And we always have orange wine in the summer or white wine. And then we, you know, in the winter we do red. We have the fire on, whatever. And it's like to share a bottle of wine with people in your home is like otherworldly to me. It's transcendental. And I love it so much.
Well, it's like the ultimate in the welcoming idea of hospitality, right?
Yeah.
And to me, hospitality always has to spill into your home first.
Yes.
And then you understand warmth and connectivity and like bringing people in.
Yeah, exactly.
I think a lot of people are intimidated though by at-home entertaining. It's like they don't want to fuck up or they don't want to make the wrong move. Or I go to so many houses and it's like gets awkward before it gets better.
I think that it's just all about nerves. In that sense, I'm really feel lucky that I grew up in London because like the people think of like England and okay, there's all formal and yes, that's true. But like in the echelon where I grew up or whatever it is, like people were just always having people over in this incredibly casual way. And it was like, oh, you're staying for dinner. Let me throw some pesto pasta on and let me open a bottle of wine. It was like, and I saw this and my parents are like super American, like clinical, sterile, like, oh, everything has to be perfect before you come in the door. And I would see the difference between my friend, and I'm making mass generalizations here. I get that.
I feel you though.
For me, I saw my friends parents entertain in this incredibly casual, off-the-cuff way. And I always thought, like, that's what I want. And that's how I try to make my house, where I'm like, it's always a mess, but I always have wine, and I always have, like, a steak in the freezer just in case, and
same.
I always have pasta, like, a sauce. Like, my mom always said, like, as long as there's enough to drink, no one will care. And it's true.
Literally, it should be put on a t-shirt.
Right? Like, as long as there's enough to drink. Like, that's the only time when I remember being, like, not annoyed, but, like, looking around when I'm at someone's house is, like, if there's no more wine or if there's no more
or
drinks.
Or if you have to ask.
If you have to ask. I'm not even finished opening the door. I'm like, white or red? Or can I make you a martini? Yeah. Like, whatever. But, like, you just have to, like, keep people watered and they're good.
I get people the first one. And then in my house, I always set up, like, a little station.
Perfect.
And I'm like, here you go. Here's your station.
Yeah, just take it.
I don't really, there's always way too much because I'm like, I love you, Mom. My mom is such, like, a drink cop. Like, she's watching everyone.
Yeah.
If she sees people go for a certain number, she's like, they're an alcoholic.
Yeah.
They got a problem.
Yeah.
And it's never entertaining at my house growing up was always just like, there's just enough food. There's
right.
And it was always not abundant, I feel like.
I love abundance.
Love.
I'm like a glutton, too.
Yeah.
I'm like very – I secretly want, like, every time someone comes to my house to, like, drop something off, I want it to turn into some bacchanalian event with, like, you know, like, drugs and, like, wine spurting from my pool and stuff. So I'm, like, always got to be prepared, you know? Always got to be prepared.
Like, it just so happens that I'm defrosting a steak.
Yeah.
We've got oysters, caviar.
Yeah, literally. I do like to have caviar in the fridge, too. I'm, like,
well, it has such a long shelf life. Just have it.
Have a really good hunk of parm. Like, in the fridge.
Solid.
And just
Reggiano,
as long as you have
aged.
For sure. A jar
plus
of
pecorino.
Pesto, you're fine.
See, I'm like, if I can make cacio e pepe like that,
done.
It's all
easy.
Good.
Yeah.
I feel like you have so many hot tips for entertaining. Do you think you'll ever bleed it more into what you're, like?
Yeah, I would love to.
I think you should.
Because I think there's a whole generation of millennials who are really hard on themselves and really, especially women, are like traumatized from like the girl boss era, and they think everything needs to be perfect, and they feel kind of caught in between the perfection of like the boomer era where it was all like everything has a napkin and a place and whatever, and the complete chaos of Gen Z. And millennials are like, but how do I entertain? I don't know. Like, you know, we're all just a little bit off. So I would love to share it, because I think that's, like, the best thing that we can do is, like, gather around the table together. It's really, again, just what life is about.
It's crazy. So I'm technically, like, the oldest a millennial could be.
Okay, okay.
39. And the girl boss era was, like, just people who are a little bit older than me.
Yes.
And, like, I watched it happen as I, like, partnered with these two men and, like, started building this business with them. And it's really interesting that you put that, because I felt like so alienated from it. I was like, wait, I am doing all these things, but like no one counted me because I wasn't doing it without the two chefs I partnered
with. Right.
It's really awful. I don't know. We're segue, but like
No,
I hated it.
I feel like a lot of women felt very left out from that narrative and were doing it in different ways that didn't necessarily match like the archetype, but they were still doing it, and they just felt very left out, which is shitty. And I honestly, my take on it is that the girl boss era was written about by men.
Yeah.
And shaped by men.
Funded by men.
So it was like, it wasn't actually bringing us women together. It was actually just making it more like scarcity mindset and like elbows out vibes. And that's bad.
Yeah.
So.
It's very bad.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So wine. Little segment I like to call You Bring, I Bring.
Okay.
We each brought a wine.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, I brought a Pinot.
Okay, well, I'll like it.
Maybe not. It's from Burgundy. Okay, but let's open them and we'll taste them. Tell me what you brought.
I brought this Lorenza. It's a really beautiful white. My friend Michelle, with her mom, started this wine company, and they have an amazing rosé, which I would have brought because I actually – I'm very picky about my rosé now, and they have a really, really fantastic rosé. But I didn't have it because I drank it all, and it's also winter now. So I brought this white, but she's just a really cool girl. I met her recently.
She is stunning.
She's
striking.
Beautiful model. She's literally a model.
Is she a model? Because I met her recently as well. at this Westbourne thing. Do you know Camilla?
Wait, Westbourne?
Yeah.
That's really crazy. Okay, so when I lived in New York, Westbourne was still a restaurant.
Yeah.
And I used to go every Saturday with my girlfriends, like every Saturday morning for 2 years. I would have this specific dish of Brussels sprouts with a poached egg on top. They're amazing, and I used to love it. And, like, during that time, I was really obsessed with moving back to California, and it was California-inspired their menu, whatever. And so I was very – would go work in there, have coffee. They had great coffee. And then it closed in the pandemic, and I was – everybody had one restaurant closure or something that they just took very hard, and that was mine. Because I was, like – I mean, obviously, the restaurant industry was just – sadly decimated in the pandemic, but everyone had one where it was just like, come on, why?
Like, you really took
like
that
I
from
just
me.
Like I was just like, fuck this shit, like, so angry. I loved it. It was
New York
so
had
cute.
A lot more than
Poor
LA
New York,
though.
I
New York
know,
like
I know
so many heartbreaking, from like the Chinese restaurant near my mom's house to like that we went to for 20 years.
It's just
like
so sad.
Wait, you know Camilla Marcus,
but then
she lives here now.
And it's so crazy we're talking about this, because this week we got sent a lovely package of snacks, and they were, as no surprise to me, absolutely phenomenal. And she's so cute and just makes fantastic things. And that's the thing, is if you're talented and if you have something to give, you will find a way to do it. And it sometimes life takes terrible turns, but you find a way to make lemonade out of lemons.
Or me, the pick pool. Pick pool's really cool. I feel like people don't really know much about the pick pool grape.
So if I was at home, I would have this with a lot of ice. That's the other thing about me, is I drink all my white wine with ice and my rosé.
That's fine.
But not my orange. I don't like cheers. I don't like cheers.
Orange wine, it would dilute the texture.
I don't like that at all.
This smells great. Oh, it's great.
It's so drinkable.
It's really pretty.
It's such an elbow wine.
It's elegant. Yeah.
I am a wino. I'm like, I don't know anything about wine. I'm like, the grape?
I know. You're like, listen, so I just uncorked this.
Well, I you know, I lived
in the Bay. You must have grown
Bay.
Up with wine. No.
Like, not really. I lived in the Bay Area for 8 years, and there are wine people. And I was, like, a member of a wine club, Scribe. They used to have a really cute little tasting room in Healdsburg.
Mm.
And there was this shop called, I think it was called Shed. And it was this amazing attached that we used to go to Healdsburg on the weekends. We go wine tasting a lot, and that's where I really loved it.
Do you miss it, or do you love LA?
Oh my God, I miss it so much.
I miss a lot of places, not LA. I usually
miss
don't miss LA.
Everywhere apart from here.
Like, how do we get out of LA?
It's so tough, because it's like, it's given me so much, and I get how annoying it must be for people who are from LA to have all these transplants come and then be like, this sucks. And also, I, like, opted into, like, the most chaotic neighborhood with, like, a career in the most chaotic, like, full of the most annoying people. So I get it. It's not LA's fault. But that having been said, I don't miss it. I'm never like, you know what I really feel like? Sitting on the 405.
Yeah. All the time.
The kindness of the locals. Like, it's not. It's
the connectivity of all the different neighborhoods.
The vibrant cultural go-sees.
Except what is cool, my husband's an artist, and like, I see a whole side of LA that I think most people don't get to see, which is like real and authentic. And and the being in hospitality, but our number one client is the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
So it's like we're automatically inbred with it.
Yeah.
In a way.
Well, everything is touched by entertainment here.
This is so good. It's the number one industry. It has to be. I don't know.
Like, imagine this with like oysters.
I was going to say the whole tower, just the whole seafood tower.
You know where I love so
Found
much?
Found oyster.
I'm going to get married there.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you?
I'm literally going to get married there.
Someone needs to have a birthday there, and
the
maybe it's going to be me.
The first time that I went there, I died and went to heaven, because that is 100% my palate. Like, I'm a seafood girly for life. I love anything raw.
It's perfect.
Raw. It's
the scallop tostada is heaven. Ari is amazing.
Is that the founder?
That's the chef founder. His wife, Molly, does the wine. She used to work with me.
I love it.
They're just like a power culinary couple.
For
they're from Charleston. They're so badass.
The trout dip, my wedding cake will be made of
the
trout dip.
Clams with the fries.
No, it's
just
amazing.
Like, it's out of control.
It's unbelievable. I also really love Dudley Market.
Yeah, that's great.
Really great
it's
wines.
It's fresh caught. It's and like they literally take their little boat out.
I know, but the wines there are really awesome.
It's really cool.
And
Taylor Grant,
their
does
team
the wine.
Is
She's
they know what's
women.
Up.
I think women. Do you think women have a better palate than men. As a somm who's done blind tasting, I really do think we have a better palate. Not better.
I think like, that it's been proven that women have more complex kind of use of their senses.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it proven?
Yeah.
I think it's true.
Yeah.
I don't know the facts.
I always say that, like, I want to have lots of different chapters. Like, I don't think life is linear. I think it's, like, modular.
Yeah.
And I really, really want to go to, like, something with food and in, like, in wine country. And just when I'm, like, 60, mm-hmm. check out.
I want to live on a farm.
So bad, same. Like, just you have
dying
no idea.
For it.
I'm gagging for it.
Yeah.
Take and me out to pasture.
It might be too soon now, but in the right context, I keep telling Alex, I'm like, we just need to find where our farm will be.
Yeah.
I don't think I've been there yet.
Yeah.
But
my farm is in Santa Barbara.
You think so?
Next to Oprah.
Pretty close. So that's Montecito.
Mike, but it's going to be just, so big.
But you know, the vibe in Santa Barbara is intense. Like, we went to a show at that outdoor bowl.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a little heavy. Like, it's kind of...
I like that.
Yeah, it's a...
It's a funky.
It's a little funky.
I like that.
I didn't
that.
Dislike it. I was like, I'm not ready for this yet.
You know what? I really am careful about what I say to LA because it is my adopted city and I'm grateful for it. But that's what I'm missing is the funk. And that's why I think I was so comfortable in San Francisco is because there's a real funkiness to the people there. The San Franciscans and...
It has that same energy vibe.
It has that same energy vibe. Santa Barbara's kind of like that. It's just like...
Do you feel like LA? I feel like people are too controlled here.
People are way too controlled.
Like any event I go to, it's like I feel like I'm wacky jumping out of my skin.
For sure.
I'm different. And then I'm like, no wonder it's not.
People don't eat and drink at the parties here. And I'm happy to say that all the live long day. Like if I go to influencer parties in New York and LA, they couldn't be more different. Or like even industry parties. In New York, like people still will get fucked up and have a good time.
Yeah.
And
they can loosen up.
Like I was at the Variety New York party a while ago and it was really fun. Like people were slamming martinis and drinking and like stayed late and whatever. You would never get that in LA. Mm-hmm. People do not get fucked up here.
No.
They don't like party. They or if they do, it's
all
like
microdose mushrooms.
Yeah, or like they'll take it to the club, but like party, like I think a true party is like one of the most beautiful things on the planet, and I love that.
Should we bring the party back
to
LA? The
art of the party.
How do we bring...
Well,
there is a book that is called The Art of the Party, but it's about salad, I think. So we need to rewrite The Art of the Party.
But people are just too like worried that someone's going to take their picture here, like that they're looking at you or whatever, and it's like... Just have fun.
Or record you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't worry about that for myself. I could see you are a much more well-known person.
I get, I still get fucked up anyway. And people are like, oh, I saw you blacked out of the bar. And I'm like, good. It was a bar. What the fuck else was I going to do there?
Yeah, people feel scared. My husband and I talk about this all the time, that feels like everything's so calculating. Like how to get ahead.
So calculated, and people only want to. Yeah, whatever. We don't have to go into the negative side of things, but
we love LA.
But yeah,
the air is so clear right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to do less going out to parties in LA because they make me sad, and I want to do more fun dinner parties. And I'm starting to do that and meet more of the like a newer crowd that I'm more interested in hanging with now, who are just like just into food and like
just
having
real people.
Fun and like so interesting. I'm like gagging to sit down next to someone who's like, I don't know, a leather maker or like whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see how you feel about this Pinot because it's not a California Pinot. It's made by Benny LaRue. You know why I brought this is because I feel like I had a feeling you like
no,
more
I'm gonna
medium
like
plus.
This is juicy.
It's a vibe. It's Benny LaRue. He's just the best. If you ever drink white burgundy.
I love white burgundy.
It's my favorite wine. It's my unicorn wine. It's the one I would drink. I think I drink champagne and white burgundy the most.
I drink so much champagne.
It's like, why don't more people
drink
champagne?
Do you want to know champagne? My champagne rule?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. My champagne rule is, and if you don't get this, I feel bad for you. Is it good?
It's so good. It's so much better on the palate than the nose.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah. Isn't that so good?
Oh, I love it.
But wait, we need the champagne rule.
Okay.
Because I have my own. Let's change the rules.
If you are not drunk enough, drink champagne. If you are too drunk, drink champagne. The reason being, it makes total sense. Open your minds, guys. if you go into a party and you're like behind everyone, whatever, you can slam a glass of champagne in 3 seconds and you automatically feel bubbly, effervescent. Mm-hmm. It's the best drunk.
Yep.
If you are looking around and you're like careening around the room and you're like, I am blotto, like I am so wasted right now, you can sip a glass of champagne and it kind of settles your stomach. Has to be really, really cold.
And has to be good champagne.
Has to be good, but it's like the perfect thing.
Yeah.
And always have a bottle of champagne in your fridge in case there's a special occasion. And sometimes the special occasion is that there's a bottle of champagne in your fridge.
That's my rule, is we always have champagne in our garage fridge.
Yeah.
Always. And that there is no occasion. Every day is an occasion to drink
every
champagne.
Day is a king.
Yeah. Like a Tuesday. It's all good.
I love champagne so much.
What's so sad is that I think a lot of people don't understand how good and affordable champagne could be. Like, they
yes.
get caught up in the Dom Perignon and the Veuve Clicquot is terrible champagne.
Yeah.
When you, like, do the bioanatomy of it.
Yeah.
But, like, I'd still drink it. I'm not going to be like, no, don't give me that Veuve Clicquot.
Yeah.
But
what do you like for champagnes?
So my favorite champagnes are going to be, like, grower-producer. So
yeah.
Jacques Salos is probably my favorite. He's, like, this amazing artist in Champagne who is literally one with the land and the grapes. His team of winemakers, they have a 1 hour, like, free your mind discussion before they go to work, and then a 15-minute debrief. It's just the whole way he's approaching life and making wine.
Yeah.
So it's people like that. I just did a seminar with him and heard him speak, and he was like, you know, until people get older, they don't actually know themselves. They
so
don't
true.
Know their true identity.
So true.
And so wrinkles and everything have to come for you to really understand
yeah.
who you are.
Yeah.
But that so many people try and like hide from it.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I
need
I
to
that
try
guy.
That champagne.
Oh my God, so many more. Vouet Sorbet. But these are all like, it's families.
Yeah.
And they all do it themselves instead of selling out to the big houses.
Yeah. Okay, I need to get a list from you because I really don't actually know that much about champagne at all, apart from that I love it and I drink it, I would say, 3 times a week.
Same.
So I need to get more informed about that.
The best is Brut Nature because
yeah.
no sugar added.
No sugar added.
It
yeah.
is what it is. This wine is great.
It's really,
Pinot
really
Noir
good.
From Burgundy. Literally anything from Burgundy. I feel like you could go anywhere that's food and wine related and tap into those. Like, you have that vibe. Like
I love it.
Like, you could go to Burgundy and, like, reveal, like, crazy shit about Burgundy. I don't know. It's a really good synergy.
I've been to Champagne, and it's an amazing trip. To go in the caves and see how they make it is really one of the coolest.
It's such a good
it's vibe. It's such a good trip and so cool. And I did that when I was, like, 12, and I remember drinking a lot of champagne there. So. See, my haters,
you're
yes.
like, cheers.
I have always loved the bottle.
You don't really have haters, though.
I do, but it comes with the territory. You're not going to be
like
for
you
everybody.
You know. You sign up when you sign up for...
I didn't know, but I know now.
Does it edit, like, what you'll share with people? Do you keep some stuff, like...
I keep some stuff, but, you know, it's really been an interesting time to kind of become internet famous because it's like I'm 32 now, and I'm, like, to your point before, I know myself a lot better now. I'm glad that I'm this age because I'm, like... Yeah, sometimes shit stings, but I am who I am, and I'm not going to let a couple of bitter nasties, like, dampen what I like to do.
Yeah.
You know? And they're always like, you drink too much wine, blah, blah. And I'm like, this is my life, and I'm going to do what I please. And
so judgy.
I hope everybody does what they want and makes themselves happy.
And stresses out less.
Yeah.
We were talking about that earlier today. Why do people stress out so much
yeah.
about small shit?
It's like, you can't.
No.
You really can't.
No. Can't overthink it.
Mm-mm.
All right. This wine is divine. You're amazing.
Thank you for having me.
I am so thrilled. I'm going to wrap. You want to do a little right now rapid fire question?
I love a rapid fire.
Fuck yeah. Let's do a rapid fire. All right. Here we go. This is an easy one. White or red?
Red.
Light or full?
Full.
Orange or rosé?
Orange.
Fill in the blank. Fried chicken plus.
Tenders.
Yeah. I love a tender.
Yeah.
It's a good call. What's this Raising Cane's? I've never had it.
People are obsessed
like,
with
it. Like, literally, do I have to drive to
no,
one to try it?
I don't think so.
Truffles or caviar?
Caviar. Oh, my God. I'm not a truffle girly. Really not.
Okay. Current drink order.
So hard. So many.
Mm-hmm.
Either a glass of chilled Nebbiolo or a Chopin Martini vermouth rinse with a twist. Super cold.
That's very classic.
So good.
It's like, what's the bar in London? Dukes?
Dukes.
Yeah. I've been so many times with the cart.
You know that it's illegal for them to sell you more than two of those specific martinis?
They're so strong.
Yeah, you know who persuaded them to sell her three and then didn't remember literally the next 12 hours of her life?
No way.
It was great. I was home for Thanksgiving a couple years ago, and I was like, listen, I'm from America. I can handle my liquor. You give me three. They were like, Mom, we really can't do that. And I was like, give me a third martini. I'm like, find pictures on my phone of like me at a club alone. I'm like, I'm like, oh my God.
You got duked, man. Those martinis are massive.
It's like a British Long Island iced tea because it's like gin, like vodka. I'm like, there's so much going on in there.
It's a special. I will always go back when I'm there for sure. Oh my God. Tinks, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. You're wonderful.
So wonderful. You're fantastic. Wonderful. Yay. Cheers. Yay.
Cheers.
Obsessed with her. She's so wonderful, so real, so lovely. I really just have a lot of respect for her as a human. Such a pleasure to talk wine, and her hot tips for entertaining are so good. If you want to get some of those champagne recommendations I was saying I'd send her, I will include some in the show notes that I'm really into right now, but also you could reference our History of Champagne episode, which we dropped right before New Year's Eve. Anyway, for more info on what I'm up to, you can follow on Instagram at Helen's Wines. You can always go to helenswines.com if you need any gifts, want to join our wine club, or if you want to see anything related to the podcast, including recipes we've talked about, suggestions we've made, any little 101 deets. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening. Bye.